today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Jim, would you be able to edit something I wrote?
Yeah, but I'm so tired right now. It would take me a long, long, long time to finish anything. Okay. The sun just kind of behind the clouds there, and it's really nice.
I believe there's, it's nice. I believe there's a small shower passing to our northeast, so we should be all right.
Really? Is that what you, did you research that meteorologically?
Hang on a sec. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Northeast. Lick your thumb and hold it up.
So I am opening a stone.
We are
gonna something
Stone go-to IPA. This is a session IPA from the amazing Stone Brewing Company, Richmond and California. And this is a pretty light one too, Jim. It's only 4.8%. So
I'm gonna put some work into this soon. I promise. But we really need to get an official beer of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yes, we do.
So we got to work on that.
Free for us
of course.
All times. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, there are not many breweries around here, so I'm not sure where we'll go.
That's good. No, they're not. You're right. Okay, so here we go.
This is new territory.
This is a new kind of episode for us. So this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we talk about music. Sometimes it's new music. Sometimes it's classic.
Yep.
Whatever it may be. We were looking at our schedule, and we said, we got a couple of episodes here to fill, and you suggested trying something new with these two episodes.
I did.
So maybe we'll come back to it. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But what's the concept here?
Well, it's a concept that's kind of been out there for a while, Jim. You know, you see it every now and then, and in my day job, I talk a lot about sort of trying to come up with creative ways to teach people or have them exercise writing. And so one of the things we kind of hit on in conversation was, oh, here's a fun exercise, cutting down a double album to a single album. So getting rid of some of the stuff that made it the double album that maybe aren't your favorite tracks, and finding that one classic, one disc LP inside of a double album. And I want to thank Tim Kaufman, one of the kids I work with during my day job, who was fairly obsessed with one album that we're going to start with.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But before we do, let me just ask you this question as a music fan.
Yes.
Do you like double albums? Do you find them, sort of overindulgent?
I love them.
Okay.
And I always think they're fascinating.
Okay.
And I think there's such an interesting story behind whenever you do one. There's always something about why you did it or, how it came about. It seems that there's always something very interesting about it, Double Nickels on the Dime by the Minutemen, for example, was a response to Husker Du's Zen Arcade, the first double album, and who thought of it, and what constitutes, what do you get the green light from the record company to do it, and all that
stuff. That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
It seems like, the industry would frown upon it because you're going to make more profit off a good single album, right?
And much more expensive to manufacture. It's double the work.
Right, but you don't actually charge double.
No, you don't. Yeah,
right?
Exactly. It's usually a good deal for the consumer. So I always loved it from that
standpoint.
I'm
just speculating here. I don't know this. I have to think it started probably with live albums,
I would think so.
Because you needed the time to really give you the sense of the concert.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then it became a statement in the late 60s and early 70s that you were going to make an opera or a sprawling double album. And obviously there are certain double albums that we perhaps will talk about here today that set the standard.
Well, and I think we have two for this week that really, in my mind, sort of show the different approaches to double albums. So we'll see. I think this first one is what a lot of bands do when they record a double album, which maybe it gives them some more room to do different things.
That's right.
To not feel so stuck in the, five songs per side and you got to have a hit, leading off each side, and you got to close out with something or whatever, and you have a little more room to breathe with a double album,
right?
Where you can go off in different directions. And that would be certainly the case with the White Album. The Beatles, right?
Yeah. It's a sprawling effort. That's right. Yep.
They were essentially coming off of Sgt. Pepper's.
That's right.
Where was Magical Mystery Tour? Was that in there somewhere?
It was before that, right.
Too, but yeah.
Yeah, and the first, I think it's important to note that, Jim, because that was the first, you know, failure the Beatles had. Not abject failure, but there were people that actually didn't immediately love it. You know, the film was panned a little bit, and for the first time ever, there was a little bit of a crack in the Beatles' facade.
There was.
Brian Epstein had died by that point. They had been in India with the Maharishi and wrote a lot of these songs on acoustic guitars because obviously they couldn't bring, you know, their electric and their whole setup there. So,
and I think at this point, too, in the Beatles' history, they were starting to become fractured.
That's right.
And so I think you can actually hear that in this record. You can more easily pick out the John songs and the Paul songs.
That's right.
And you can see how they're kind of going in different directions, maybe. To my ear, it feels like some of these songs might have benefited from them getting along a little bit better and sort of completing each other's
Absolutely.
Work because they kind of feel, to my way of thinking, maybe some of them aren't quite done.
Yeah,
you know, they're kind of ideas that didn't get fully fleshed out in the way that their previous collaborations did. Right?
I think that's well
said. But I think to other people, they find that really fascinating.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So I don't know. It depends on how you look at it.
And it's some people's favorite Beatles album. You know, they love the White Album because it's got that breadth and that sprawlingness. And I think what you said, Jim, is really important because there are some examples on this album, if you believe all the history books, that when they did work together, it made something like some of the best tracks on the album.
I also think you can't discount the drug culture at the time.
No, not at all.
That also led to
absolutely,
you know, the success of a record like this.
It absolutely.
It maybe takes on some new colors beyond white.
That's right.
When you
I got four sides to listen to.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so how do we want to do this? How do we want to? So the idea is to, if we were the producer,
that's right,
and we were saying, hey, guys, you know, we're not going to put out a double album.
Yeah.
We're going to make this one tighter record.
That's right.
How would we do? What would choice have we made? So how do we want to approach that?
Yeah, I think, well, we each, I think our general parameters, Jim, was that we tried to cut it down maximum 14 songs, right? And we tried to keep it. I mean, this is fantasy land. So we tried to keep it around 45 minutes
if we could.
Yeah,
that's a good limit, right, for a single album.
I might have slightly gone over the time limit, but I did cut this down to 14 songs.
As a double album, it's 30 tracks.
30 tracks, okay.
1 hour and 33 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
I got it down to 14 tracks, 42 minutes.
Okay. Great. Great.
So you want me to go first?
Yeah. Why don't you run through yours? Yeah.
So my question here is, do I run through the tracks I kept, or do you want me to also comment on the ones I deleted too? How do we do this?
Unless you think the deleted songs merit some inclusion,
here's what I'll do.
I think by not mentioning them, it says a lot.
I think for a listener, you want to hear what I have.
That's right. That's what I want to know.
And then maybe after that, I can talk a little bit about what I eliminated.
Okay, that's
okay?
great. All right. Yep. All right. Or why you did it. Yeah.
So here we go.
Because there's probably something on the bubble that you had to cut.
Right. So here we go.
Okay.
I am kicking off this record the way it kicks off anyway with Back in the USSR. I think that's a great opening track.
Okay, amazing.
And I love I love the to me it sort of like speaks kind of to the times, you know, the Cold War and everything that was happening in the 60s, but also is like a joke on the Beach Boys, and they were in competition with Brian Wilson at that time. So to me it's a classic track.
Yep.
All right, so start with that. Then we go into Dear Prudence.
Okay.
Which I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite Beatles songs, but I respect it. I admire it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lovely little track, and that gives you a good contrast from what you just heard, which was more of a poppy song.
Yep.
Then we go into Glass Onion.
Okay.
Which I kept because I actually like the self-referential nature of it. I think at this point in the Beatles' career, I love the way that they were just kind of joking about themselves, right? And about Beatlemania and the little secret hidden things and all that kind of stuff. And it just, sonically, it's very cool and it sounds kind of Revolver-like, which is my favorite Beatles album. So there we go. So then...
There you go. I know.
I think we're getting now into those were actually the first three tracks, right?
Okay.
Of the album, right? So now I think we're getting to stuff where I'm going to start to eliminate some things. Because after Glass Onion, I go to While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Okay.
So, passing over a couple of other songs.
Got it.
Right? Quite a few. Passing over three songs.
Okay.
So, we go to While My Guitar Gently Weeps. again, maybe not necessarily my favorite Beatles song, but I do acknowledge its greatness. I think it's a really well-produced song. Yep. And it's a George song. You got to have a George song, yep, on the record, too. So we'll go with that.
Okay.
Then we go to Happiness is a Warm Gun,
okay,
which follows that.
Yep.
I like that song for its sort of, you know, statement,
yep,
right? The sarcasm of it,
yep,
you know, which is great coming from, yep, John. That kind of sort of a bluesy song, but it really is much more than that.
Yeah, okay, it is.
Yes. So that's how many songs? One, two, three. Wait,
I think you're on
for five.
Five, okay. Okay.
So then I go to Martha, My Dear.
Okay.
Just to kind of switch things up a little bit, mm-hmm, and have a little bit of a kind of slow. This is a palate cleanser,
yeah,
a little bit, Martha, My Dear.
Okay.
Then I included the next song, which is I'm So Tired. That's actually, I think, a really good Beatles song.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot, the John song. It's sort of languid, and it fits the content of the song, but it still holds your attention. I like that one, yep, a lot. Then I'll stick with Blackbird as the next song.
Okay.
So, although it's funny, I was texting you about this. I guess I never really thought about this too much until I was listening to it again. As much as I really think that's a classic Paul song, and it's just really well crafted, I don't really understand why they felt the need to put actual bird sounds toward the end of the song. Like, did it really need that,
yeah,
to get the point across?
Probably not.
Yeah. That's one thing, if I were producing it.
Yeah.
I hate to question, you know, the great George Martin, but I don't know that you really need that in there. But it's a beautiful song, and so I'll keep that in there. Then I go to Don't Pass Me By.
Okay.
So skipping a couple of tracks.
Yep.
I felt I had to get a Ringo song in there.
Absolutely.
You gotta pay respect. Yep. And actually, I didn't even know this till now. I didn't even know that Ringo wrote that song.
Neither did I.
I mean, in the past,
you blew my mind with that.
They
one
would give Ringo songs to sing, mm-hmm, you know, Yellow Submarine and all of that, or Get By With a Little Help From My Friends.
Yeah.
But he actually wrote the song.
He wrote it
several years before.
That's right. He'd been working on it.
Like when, yeah, he came to the band, I guess.
It's amazing. I did not know that. As soon as you texted me that, I was right down that rabbit hole learning about it.
But I think it's a really good song.
It's a great song.
I think that's one of those that you hear it, you it sticks with you. You know, it's got a great,
yeah,
sort of
it's
groove
got the little
to
bluegrass
it
fiddle in,
yeah,
there. Yeah,
I like that a lot. So I definitely would keep that in there. Then I make some skips here, mm-hmm, and I included Julia.
Okay.
And I don't necessarily have a great reason why I included,
okay,
that.
Okay.
You know, that's a Lennon acoustic sort of song. So maybe I felt like I should give Lennon like that opportunity, yep, to sort of have that spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think it's a nice little song. And sometimes in an album, you should just have something that's just, I don't know, that just makes you maybe think a little bit, or,
yeah,
just, you know, gives it a little bit of different feeling. Mm-hmm. And you're coming off of Don't Pass Me By, so I've kind of,
right,
felt like that was a good sort of juxtaposition.
Got it.
But then we're going to hit things strong,
okay,
with Everybody's Got Something to,
nice,
Hide Except for Me and My Monkey,
nice,
which you,
okay,
can't leave that one out.
Yeah.
So you'll notice that I skipped quite a few songs there,
yeah,
so we'll come back to one of them,
we'll,
maybe that people would
out
be surprised.
Okay.
But I think coming off of Julia, then going into Everybody's Got Something to Hide Except for Me and My Monkey, there's no way I could leave that one off. It's one of the coolest like songs the Beatles ever,
exactly,
recorded. I don't necessarily get it. I probably should do some more research on it, but
I don't know if there's anything to get, man. It just roars.
But it's cool.
It's just fun.
Harrison claimed the title came from one of the Maharishi's sayings, so there,
okay,
you go. I love it.
Me too.
Then we're going to take that song. Let's say that song is at level 10.
Yeah.
Now we're going to come right off of that. We're going to go up to 11,
okay,
with Helter Skelter.
Okay, sweet, sweet.
Helter Skelter is actually one of my favorite Beatles songs.
Yeah.
It's a top 10 for me.
Big tune.
It's a Paul song, and I think Paul shows that he can just slay it. If he wants,
yeah,
to, he can just do it. And there's no way I could leave that song off.
Right.
And, you know, that's just a killer. So you have those two songs that are banging, and then we're going to bring things down a little quiet, which would actually be the next song there. It's George's song, Long, Long, Long.
Ah, yes, Jim. Yes.
Which I really, this is sort of like one of those like hidden Beatles tracks that nobody ever thinks about or talks about,
dude,
but it's so
you
good.
Are so right. I'm so there with you.
I had to keep that
yeah.
one. And then you will notice here, I'm up to 13
you
songs
are.
Here.
There's some stuff on my list that is not going to be on yours.
There's still a whole side of an album yeah. that I haven't even gotten to, right?
That's right.
So I am closing off, and I think this would be, this is to me is the great album closer. I don't like the way they finished the album,
yeah.
White Album.
Yeah, with Goodnight, no.
I am ending it with Savoy Truffle.
Oh. Oh, really?
And when you go back wow. and listen to that song, it sounds like a song that you just end an album. I don't know how really to describe it. It just has that feeling. Mm-hmm. Like, this is sort of like I'm just kind of mellowing us out a little bit, and I'm kind of closing this up, and that's it. As you can see, I'm not a big fan of side four of the White Album. But right. To me, that one is the one that I think should have ended the album. So there you go. There's
wow.
my 14
fantastic,
song
Jim.
Single disc of the White Album.
Okay.
All right. So real quickly, well, you know what? You go, because then you're probably
okay.
going to mention some of the ones I left
that's
off.
And true. That's
give
a good
me a
way
chance
to do it.
To,
okay. Yeah,
to
let's do
talk
that.
About that.
Let's
all right.
do that. Okay. So awesome, Jim. So what I did was slightly different. I like the way you approached it, because you kind of went with the original running order.
Yeah, I didn't really have time to go back in and resequence
it.
I thought
cool
about
way
that.
Way to do it. And I think if you're going to listen to it probably in 2019, that's the way it's going to be done. Probably, you know, eliminating. But I did go in and I chopped it up and I put it in two sides.
Okay.
So I have two, you know, we're in fantasy land. So I have two 7-song sides, and it's a little longer than 45 minutes.
Okay.
But, yeah,
well, let's just
not
go with
too
it.
Much. Yeah. So I'm starting off with Back in the USSR.
I don't think anyone's actually going to press this
no.
version. So
I hope,
think you're
well,
okay.
You never know. All right. Back in the USSR, Jim, same. You, yep. you detailed all the reasons. Great start.
Yes.
Got to go with that. Second song, I'm going with Everybody's Got Something to Hide Except for Me and My
okay.
Monkey. So I want to keep that momentum going yep. like real strong.
This is like you're making a mixtape,
right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's
okay.
it.
Okay, now.
Now here, I drastically shift
yep.
into Dear Prudence.
This is the classic mixtape style.
That's
then
right.
you bring it back, right?
Then I bring
yeah,
it back.
That's right.
So I'm
yeah.
going with Dear Prudence.
Yeah.
As you said, a beautiful tune. You know, I just think that's a super haunting, you know, guitar riff, and it's one I actually learned to play. It's really fun to sort of learn to pick that A minor and kind of
it
those
is.
Cool
and
chords.
And the song doesn't really go anywhere from
it
that;
doesn't.
It just stays on
yeah.
that. But it's so effective, right?
When you're learning guitar, it's a great lesson yeah. of how you don't need to do a lot.
Yeah.
Then I put in what I think is probably the biggest earworm. Well, one of the biggest earworms on an album with some earworms from McCartney is Mother Nature's Son. I love that tune. I just think it's kind of a you know, glistening, kind of a trippy kind of nature tune. So I'm really into that. I like that song a lot. From there, I'm going to go with the deceptive beginning of Happiness is a Warm Gun, because it kind of starts off, she's not a girl who misses much, and then turns into, as you said, something much darker.
Right.
Then from there, because we're on darkness and things are looking kind of down, I'm going to go with Your Blues, because that's a song. I love that riff. I especially, and I think the main reason I included this at the expense of a couple of other tunes, and probably I'm So Tired. I it was one of those two for me. I love that third verse where John Lennon says, feel so suicidal, I even hate my rock and roll. And then it goes into that kind of 50s riff right there. I think that's so clever. So I really like that. Then I'm closing out side one, Jim, with Helter Skelter. As you said, it's such an important song culturally and musically. Some people say it invented heavy metal. Some
right.
people say that Charles Manson listened to it.
Right.
So there's a lot of reasons why that was really important. So then we're going to flip the record over, and I'm going to start side two with Julia. I love that song,
okay, good.
Too.
Good.
I've always kind of understood it was John's, you know, song to his mom, who never really was in his life all that much, and his aunt, you know, he had those two strong figures, yet Yoko finally was at that point where, you know, she was that personality giving him all that. So then I'm going to go with Ringo, man. Don't pass me by it.
Yeah.
It was all you. I did not rate that song highly at all until you texted me and said he wrote it. I had no idea. And fell in love with the whole story of it. And then when
yeah.
you listen to it with that little fiddle, it's such a cool
when
tune.
You sort of listen to it with fresh ears, you're like, this is actually a
yeah.
really, it's a
yep.
pretty good song.
Yep.
And I just think it, yeah, it needs The album needs to have that Ringo contribution.
That's right. That's great. Okay. That's right. And then I'm going to go with Obla Da, because I just love the kind of ska Jamaican influence that's in that. You know, I know it's, you know, a little bit cliched and kind of poppy and one that most people wouldn't think Patrick would pick. But yeah. I don't know. I just,
this is surprising.
It's kind of
me.
A guilty pleasure for me on this album. I love that tune, like Desmond in the Marketplace and all that. So then from there, I'm going to go with Martha, My Dear, which you also chose, which I think is just a beautiful tune. It's one of my, you know, it's one of the most well-crafted tunes, I think, that Paul wrote. Then we're going to go into Glass Onion. What I love about Glass Onion, really quick, is that the songs that are referenced in Glass Onion, if you go back and listen to them, also have references to other stuff in the Beatles. So it's super sly in that way. So, you know, The Walrus and some of those other songs, right? Yes. They all feed into that myth. Yes. And John Lennon was obsessed with the people that were obsessed with the Beatles. Yes. Like, he loved to leave those little breadcrumbs for people and screw them up.
So. It's what they now call fan service.
That's right.
Yeah, in, exactly, in movies and things like that. But I love it. I think it's so, like, sly.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. The famous example being the line, "I'm feeling 2 foot small" instead of 2 foot tall. And John was like, "I didn't mean to sing that, but leave it in because it'll, the, you know, the pseudo analyst will love it."
Yeah, right.
So leave it in there. Then from there, Jim, Long, Long, Long. I think we're in agreement. That's the best George Harrison song on this record. I did not choose While My Guitar Gently Weeps. I like this one a lot better. I don't rate Piggies very highly. I think it's kind of a throwaway and kind of embarrassing. So, and then I've got to close this record with Revolution 9. And the reason is, it's a pretty simple reason. I think it's probably for the techniques that John Lennon used, cut up, splicing. It's probably the most widely distributed piece of avant-garde music in the world. More people probably own a copy. They may not play it, but they probably own a copy of this, you know, William Burroughs, cut-up Stockhausen, you know, John Cage, music concrete thing. Just for that reason, I think it's important.
So what I would do with that is I would...
Revolution's a problem we should talk about because there's the single...
I noticed we didn't include Revolution 1.
We could have. But I like the single version that was on the B-side of Hey Jude.
When I listen to Revolution 1, I just go, this is lesser Revolution.
Exactly.
Like, there's no need for this.
Yeah.
But here's what I would do. If I were going to end the album, if I were engineering this and going to end the album with Revolution 9, I would put, what do you call that, a lock groove?
Yes, sir. That would be amazing.
So it just keeps repeating it, right?
Yes, that would be so awesome.
Until you actually go and
pick the... Now we have to press it. Yeah.
And pick the needle.
That would be so cool. That's a genius idea.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be perfect.
Yeah. Okay, then now you've won me over. Yeah. If you could do that, then I would include it.
Oh, that'd be great. Okay.
So let me just go through here and look at the ones that neither of us picked. Are there any of...
I've got to
say, I'm a little surprised
you didn't include that.
Obla Di Obla Da, because...
I know.
Maybe I've just heard it too much or something. I just... When I hear it, I have to skip.
There's a lot of people that feel that way about that song.
I don't think either of us picked Wild Honey Pie.
We did not.
Okay.
Nope.
Neither of us picked The Continuing Story of Bungalow Bill.
Nope. We did not.
Let's see.
Nobody picked Rocky Raccoon.
Well, I was going to get to that here. Okay, yeah, Piggy. Rocky Raccoon. I know a lot of people really like that song a lot.
People
It's like a story song, and this is an old West thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It gets a little too... here's my problem with that song. I feel like Paul already did that kind of Tin Pan Alley stuff on Sgt. Pepper's and things. And it's like, we don't need any more of that, you know? When it gets to that tack piano and all that kind of stuff, right? I don't know.
I feel the same way, Jim. I kind of feel like it's him showing how good he can be.
Yeah.
And like, hey, look at me. I'm doing a trick.
Neither of us picked Why Don't We Do It in the Road.
We didn't.
You know why? Because I think it's a throwaway song.
It is.
I don't... It feels like filler to me.
It's dated, and it's filler.
I Will.
Neither of us picked that.
Yeah.
It's kind of slight, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But.
Neither of us picked Birthday. Here's my problem with Birthday. Not a problem, necessarily, but here was my thinking as I was doing this.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fine song. It's okay, and everybody knows it.
Yeah.
To me, it felt like a song that should have been released just as a single. Like, it's in that sort of Day Tripper mold, right?
I totally agree with you. That's exactly right. That would have been
perfect.
On
the album,
right? That would have been much better. And it would have been a huge seller. Would have been a number one.
Yes. Let's see. You had Mother Nature's Son, right? Me and My Monkey. Sexy Sadie, we did not pick.
Well, I'll tell you my quick personal anecdote about that song, Jim. I have a daughter. My oldest daughter is named Sadie, and people would always say, oh, after the Beatles. No, that was my grandmother's name. It's a family name. So I've just never liked that song for that reason. It's not that good.
It's not.
Yeah.
And then Honey Pie?
Mm.
You didn't have that, right?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
Yeah. It's just not enough there for me.
And then Good Night is the actual album closer.
Yeah, and also Cry Baby Cry, neither of us chose.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, with kind of slight tunes. This is where you start to think,
really don't like Good Night.
No, and, it's a terrible place to put it on the record. I totally agree with you. I get
that they're trying to close with Good Night. Here's my problem with it. It's not necessarily that it's bad. It goes way too long.
Yes.
If it was like a minute of that... Yes. As the closer, that would have been really nice.
Just like Her Majesty on Abbey Road, where there's just that, you know, kind of, it's like the Easter egg on our shows.
That's right.
Kind of fades up at the end, and there's like a minute of it.
Yeah, but it goes on for 3 minutes or longer than that, and I'm just like, I'm done with this.
Yes,
all right,
it's longer than a lot of the other songs on the record, which are much better. So.
Let's say goodnight. All right.
Exactly.
All right, cool. So when does the special... Suburbs Pod pressings go out, right?
We got to call our friends at the record plant.
You know, Apple...
I don't think it'd be a problem getting the rights.
They're always putting out different...
Why not?
You know,
give us a shot. The Suburbs Pod edition.
That's right.
There are people that will buy it.
That's right.
I'm sure they will.
Well, we'll put our playlists up so you can listen to these in this order.
That's right.
And see what you think. And then send us your ideas. How would you...
I sort of have a feeling there is going to be people in our community with opinions on this.
Yeah. How would you rework the White Album into one disc? And again, we're saying get it to about 45 minutes and it should work. And you can switch the order if you want, or you can just eliminate songs like I did, you know, however you want to go up, go for it.
Yep.
You can send those track lists and hopefully some little explanations on them.
Yeah. Tell us why.
Yeah. To rock@suburbspod.com or call and talk about it. 612-440-1984. Do that.
Or record an MP3.
And email that into us. That would be great.
Mm-hmm. Keep it shorter than the length of the album, if you don't
mind. There you go. And then also, you can find us on social media, too.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. Okay, this was fun. Now, tomorrow was harder for me. Tomorrow we're going to do...
It was easier for me.
A Stones record, right?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got something... I got thoughts to say about this.
Okay, good. I can't wait.
Now, do you think... I guess the big question is, do you think the White Album should have been a single album?
Yes.
Or was this... Okay.
I absolutely do.
I think either of us could have made this a better album. And then, like I said, there could have been a couple of singles that were just released.
Yeah, absolutely.
That didn't need to be on this record, or some tracks that maybe could have been included
on some another other project. Stuff. Yeah, right. Project, that would have made those projects better, probably. Yeah, yeah. So... But like you said,
I'm not saying this song shouldn't exist.
No,
I want
not
people
at
to
all.
Understand that.
No,
I'm
God,
just trying
no.
to tighten up,
yeah.
put my editor eye shade on
That's
and tighten
right.
this
That's
up,
it.
Right? Yeah.
And there was a bunch of stuff recorded during these sessions that didn't make it, you know, including What's the New Mary Jane and a couple stuff like that. But it, like you said, Jim, at the top, it was a record where they weren't communicating, they were fractured, and there was a lot going on where they probably couldn't get together and knock it all down to one disc.
It lacks focus, I think,
yep.
which was something we did not expect from the Beatles, but the other side of that is a lot of people found that endearing, that
they
sort of took some of the shackles off and just, you know, went wild. So I don't know. Okay.
It is some people's favorite record.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get out of here.
All right.
Send
us
that stuff. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And tomorrow we're going to talk about XL and Main Street. So I'll talk to you tomorrow.